good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see all of you here. We're a little low on numbers, I think, because of holidays. A lot of people are away on holidays, and there may well be more coming to join us. If you don't know me, my name's Dave Bruce. I'm the director here, and I'm going to be leading the service today. We're going to be having communion later on, and the children are going to be going out to their summer activities. At 20 minutes or so into the service with Helen. And Barry, one of our lay ministers, is going to be preaching this morning. Just to, one little notice.
Is it turned on?
Yes, it is turned on. Could you flick it on for me? There we go. We have a few different connecting events over the summer. We've had a couple last week. We had a good men's breakfast yesterday morning. This week coming up, we've got a coffee morning up at All Saints. A chance to go and see All Saints if you've never been up there before. There's going to be stuff on for children, as well as if you're old, if you're young, if you're new, if you're old, then do go along. There'll be something for you 10:30. Up at All Saints on Tuesday. And next Sunday we're having a picnic on the Common too. It's going to be just turn up and organise yourselves a picnic, because I'm not going to be here. And I'm hoping someone will just take the lead and make it all happen. So picnic at the football pitch on Peachville Common, as we do normally, about 12:15. We've got an all-in, all-age service next Sunday, which Helen's going to be leading. So we'll hopefully be finishing a little bit earlier than usual there. And a few other things too. All that information is on the church mailing, so do go on to that for a few more details. And if you're going to have to flick on for me all day today. And if you don't already get the church mailing and want to, then if you click that button on our website, then you'll have the chance to just give your details so that you can pick up the weekly mailing with all our information on too. He's not looking.
Sorry.
If there's another clicker, can you see if you can get it? We're continuing our series today looking at heavenly encounters, looking at people in the Bible, stories in the Bible, where there's been a heavenly encounter going on. And today we're going to be looking particularly at the story of Elijah, where Elijah actually has had a really tough time and basically says to God, "I've had enough." And God meets him in a really special way. And so I want to encourage us as... Sorry, that was only one. Yeah, Matt. Encourage us as we start our service today. There'll be some of us who arrive in a great place and feeling joyful and rested and with everything going fine. There'll be others of us who are arriving here feeling burdened and struggling, and perhaps even us saying, "I've had enough and just want to get away." But there's some amazing words of Jesus which I want us to focus on as we begin this service. Words of invitation from Jesus. So let's hear these as we gather to meet today. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we come this morning to come to God, to meet with him, to allow him to refresh us, to allow him to give us a bigger vision of who he is, to allow him to fill us afresh, to go out again, to serve him. So let's pray as we begin. Lord Jesus, we thank you that whether we are weary or whether we are full of life, whether we are burdened or haven't got a care in the world, you invite us to come to you this morning. And as we meet with you, we find life, and life in all its fullness. We open our hearts to you as we come to worship this morning. Will you lead us in worship? Will you show us more of who you are? Will you draw us more to be the people you've called us to be? In the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of songs as we begin. The second one particularly is a song particularly for the children. And I'd love some of the children to come and grab an instrument and come and wave a flag. And if you're a grown-up too, grab an instrument and come and wave a flag too as we praise our God. Lord, we want to say that our trust is in you. Our hope is in you. Our eyes are fixed on you. Do take a seat just before the children go out. I want to talk a little bit. Are there any children feeling really energetic this morning? Because we've had a... Still not working. Come on, the next one. We've had a week of some amazing sports, haven't we? And in a moment, we might get some pictures to come up. There we go, on the screen of some of the things that we've been seeing this week. And they're all English. And one of them even is from Malvern. Anyone know which one's from Malvern? Hola. The biker, do you know what her name is? Evie Richards, that's right. She used to go to the Chase, didn't she? And I know Josh has ridden with her at the bike club here. And she won the cross country biking this week, the gold medal. And what's in the top left? The Lionesses. Wasn't that an amazing victory? Some of us were being really spiritual last Sunday evening at Deeper. And then got home to realise the recording had stopped 15 minutes from the end. But there we go. But amazing victories. Now, these three athletes here. We've got Evie Richards there. Who's bottom right? Laura Kenny and bottom left. Katrina Johnson-Thompson, who won the heptathlon. Now, all of those three women there who won gold medals talked about having some really difficult experiences, difficult times in their last few months. Some of them had injuries. Some of them just had really difficult things. And some of the athletes even had COVID the week before and came back and raced, didn't they? And actually, when you're an athlete, when you're training, you know, you go through some really tough times. And at times, some of those athletes even said, I was thinking I was going to give up. I was thinking this was going to be my last race. But they didn't. They kept going, didn't they? And do you know what all of them said made a difference when they were running or cycling or doing whatever they were doing in their races? All of them said, the crowds cheering them on made a difference. And it reminded me of a verse in Hebrews. And later on, Barry's going to talk about just how we cope when we're in a difficult place, and particularly how God supports us and God draws alongside us. But actually, the Bible talks not just about God coming alongside us in our difficult times, but about each other coming alongside us. Here's a verse from Hebrews which says, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, why we come and gather is so that we can encourage each other. Just like the crowds at the Commonwealth Games, we can cheer each other on. And we can say, keep going. Keep going. We can pray for each other and encourage each other that way. We can write each other cards. We can give each other Bible verses of encouragement. We can just get alongside people and put our arms around them to encourage them to say, keep going. Keep going. Don't give up. And so I want to encourage all of us, whether we're old or whether we're young, this week to think, is there one person particularly, maybe even this morning, who's here that I can encourage? And I can just encourage in whatever way God calls me to. Encourage them to keep going and to cheer them on, to keep them running the race for God, as we're all called to do. So we're going to pray for our children and as they go out to have some special activities with Helen. But maybe actually as you have your activities, you might even be talking about how you might encourage each other to keep going in the tough times. So let's pray particularly for them. Lord, we thank you so much for our children and for our young people. And we pray your blessing on them now. that as they go and have some summer activities, that you'll help them to have great fun, but help them to know something of your presence with them too. And may they have that perseverance and that determination to keep journeying and to keep running the race of faith all of their lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Off you go, children, to your groups. We'll see you later. While they're going out, maybe we'd like to just turn to somebody and say hello to them. If you don't know their names, find out what their names are, and maybe even commit to praying for them this week and encouraging them on their journeys. Great, good. Do continue those conversations after the service and see how you might encourage each other. And just pray this week for the person that you've been talking to. We're going to just have a time of prayer now. And first of all, we're just going to have a time of confession before Val comes and leads us in the rest of our prayers. But as we just come to confess, first of all, let's have a time of silence before God, where we can bring to God anything that we want to say, anything we want to say sorry for, and ask for his forgiveness, ask for his strength to live differently in the coming week. We have not always worshipped God, our Creator. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We've not always followed Christ, our Saviour. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We've not always trusted in the Spirit, our guide. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And receive God's forgiveness. Receive that forgiveness afresh, to know that actually you are forgiven, that God gives us everything that we need to live his way. Think again of that fruit of the Spirit. He pours that fruit of the Spirit and grows that in us again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, help us this week to live your way, to shine your light in the world. And as we do that, may we worship you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Val will lead us forward.
Talk to each other. Dave's just been talking about encouragement, and when I was praying about what to do with this slot this morning, I felt I wanted not me to pray and you to say amen, but me to encourage us all to pray. So there's so much going on in the world this month that needs prayer, and I want us all to lift our own prayers to God this morning. If you're new to prayer, I would encourage you that prayer is simply talking to God, just as you would talk to your friend or your relative. So I will pray briefly for each subject, and then we'll have a short silence for everyone to offer their own prayers to God. Lord, we come before you in prayer this morning, in a world that faces immense challenges, and mindful of your call in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians to pray constantly. Lord, hear the cries of our hearts this morning. Let us start by praying for Ukraine, for the refugees living in our midst, for the outcome of the war, and for the work of our mission partners, Terry and Hanker English. We'll have a moment's pause for you all to pray. We continue by praying for the situation in Taiwan and the very real possibility of escalating conflict between China and the USA. We'll have a pause to pray for that situation. We ask your forgiveness for the part we have played in accelerating climate change and pray that you will guide both governments and individuals as we seek to slow down the rate of change. We pray for those facing the resulting natural disasters of excess heat, rain and wind. We'll have another pause. And finally, closer to home, we pray for our church family, for Dave and his family as they go away for a much-needed rest, for other paid staff, Helen, Kirsty and Sarah, and for those who are grieving the loss of people they love and those who are unwell. And I will end with a prayer of Anselm, one-time Archbishop of Canterbury. God of love, whose compassion never fails, I bring before you the troubles and perils of people and nations, the sighings of prisoners and captives, the sorrow of the bereaved, the necessities of strangers, the helplessness of the weak, the despondency of the weary, the failing powers of the aged. O Lord, draw near to each for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I'd love you to grab a Bible, and Sian's going to come and give our Bible readings. But I really encourage you to turn to it and follow it yourselves, and then Barry's going to come and speak.
So there are two readings. First is from the Old Testament, and it's from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 13. Now, I'm not using the same Bible as you, so maybe, Dave, you could call out the page number? 360 in the Bibles here. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 13. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under a tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood in the mouth of the cave. Our New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, firstly verse 8 and then verse 16 to 18. And your page number is 1161. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 8. "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair." Verse 16. "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Sean. "I've had enough, Lord." I think the title is Every Preacher's Nightmare, Dave. I mean, what if we had a Pentecostal moment and somebody starts shouting it out in the middle of the service while the preacher's preaching? Yes. Imagine for a moment you're 14 years old and you are lying on top of a hilltop on a warm summer's evening. Late evening, it's dark. You're waiting for some friends to catch you up. And as you stare into the skies, you see pinpricks of light. And bit by bit, the glory of the heavens open up before you. Millions upon millions of stars. And that was me some 50 plus years ago on Clent Hills. I was with the scouts and I gazed upon this spectacle and suddenly became aware of how small I was and how immense the universe was. And at that time, I became overwhelmed with a sense of something, somebody bigger, hugely bigger than me, who enveloped me in love. I felt safe. I felt secure. And it was a moment when I felt truly alive, truly alive. And I'll never forget that moment, which for me, although I was unable to articulate it at the time, was my first heavenly encounter. And I wonder whether you've experienced, not necessarily that, but something, a moment, a revelation, a sense of God's presence. Could be a big, powerful earthquake-type moment, or a quiet whisper, a small moment of revelation. Well, we read, didn't we, or Sian read in our first reading, about Elijah has had a pretty heavenly encounter. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. Here's a guy who has just defeated 800 prophets of Baal. In previous chapters, he's raised a boy to life and been miraculously fed by ravens, yet he's sitting under a bush, having given up. "I've had enough," he told the Lord. "Take away my life." This is the Message version, I think. "I've got to die sometime, and it might as well be now." And if we contrast that with our New Testament reading from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, we see somebody else who's had a pretty amazing encounter. You think back, Paul's revelation on the road to Damascus of Jesus. And yet he's had a life that's not been easy. I don't know whether you've read this particular one, 2 Corinthians. "I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews' 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times, immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. Oh, hard travelling, year in, year out. I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, betrayed by those I thought my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labour, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. And that's not the half of it." And then he says this, "And yet." I've heard sermons preached on those two words, "and yet." He says, and this is the message, I love this. "These hard times," he says, "are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us all." So here we have two major biblical figures, each having experienced close encounters with a living God. And we have one, in a sense, wimping out under a bush, wanting to die, and the other comparing his troubles to small root vegetables. And which are you? Are you the hide under the bush type, or just seeing the world in that sort of small way? Or maybe like us all, I suspect, we gravitate, or we move between the two points, don't we? Depending so much on our particular circumstances. We know who we'd probably rather be like, and yet many of us, I think, have empathy with Elijah saying on many occasions, "I've had enough, Lord." So what can we learn from this? Well, 3 things, I think. Firstly, God never gives up on us. In both Elijah and Paul's situation, God doesn't give up, does he? We read in 1 Kings that God sends an angel to bring Elijah nourishment and encouragement to do one last task, which is to pass on his anointing to Elisha. And Paul's conviction is driven, isn't it, like a sort of nuclear reactor within him, by his earthquake revelation of Jesus on that road to Damascus. And he's renewed day by day by the Holy Spirit. And in both cases, God is reminding them in different ways through the work of the Trinity that though they may struggle and even give up, He never gives up on them. And all of us are going to feel on occasion despair and maybe a sense of abandonment. We want to give up. Our circumstances, they may be anxiety, illness, relationships, apparent lack of faith. We may be facing tough decisions, tough times, exhaustion. And you know, this is going to sound a cliche, but God often uses these times of darkness. When I was a baby Christian in my late 20s, I was fit, healthy, had a very active life. I was content in my job, had a great social life, happily married. We ran the church youth club, and in most regards, I reckon we were pretty contented. I didn't really want challenge, I didn't want pain, I didn't want grief. And we were talking to a friend, and he said to me something which I have never forgotten, and he said, "Barry, remember, your soul grows through adversity." Bang, a whole new way of looking at God at work in me. And not long afterwards, we had troubles. We struggled with infertility. The doctor told me he thought I might have a brain tumor. One of our youth group tried to commit suicide. And I didn't welcome any of these things. But when I reflect back, I can see that the struggles that we went through, the overwhelming nature at the time, made us humble, made us call upon God, made us rely upon him. Our souls grew. Our capacity to cope with the problems of this life were enlarged and expanded. And I was strengthened in the knowledge that God had never and did never leave or give up on me at that time or ever since. Second point is guilt. I think as Christians, we're pretty good at guilt, aren't we? We practice it, we refine it, we pile it upon ourselves. And the trouble is that creates often a lack of self-esteem, a lack of self-love. And that, in a sense, fuels anxiety. And if you feel guilty, as often we do, we're in good company. I mean, Elijah was one, other biblical figures, and contemporary figures too. Mother Teresa is not somebody you would think felt guilt, but she did, for her lack of faith. She wrote this: "When I raise my eyes to heaven, there is such convicting emptiness that those thoughts return like sharp knives." Mother Teresa had doubts, had guilt. And I've been a Christian for most of my adult life, and whilst hilltop moments and overcoming struggles have given me a deep assurance of God's love, there are times when I haven't been happy, cheerful, optimistic, fun-filled, holy, spiritual, the person you see standing before you. Hard to believe, I know. Just ask Deb, she'll tell you otherwise. Yeah, and I think like most of you, you know, I've been tired at times, emotional, physically ill, depressed, anxious, irritable. Prayers offered up sometimes seem to go into an empty void. And sometimes, I have to say, at times like that, a fun-filled, bouncy Christian leaping in with hugs and scriptures, pronouncing they've just spent 3 hours with the Lord, reading 32 chapters of Leviticus, raising the dead, and times like that, you know, I feel, what's wrong with me? I feel shriveled with a lack of zealous faith, and I want to sit under a bush filled with guilt and say, "Lord, strike me down." Well, actually, strike him down first, but then strike me down later. And then I come and I think, well, Jesus, you were not just fully divine, but you were human too, and you understand my frailty, my flakiness. And you know what? That guilt dissipates at that moment. And even though I'm going to wimp out occasionally, I take great comfort in knowing that Jesus is there with me. And that helps us, I think, to the third point, really, not lose heart. I was trying to think of an occasion when I lost heart, and I thought, I know one occasion. And it was when I was in the lifeboat crew, and we were out in practice. And I have to say, my life was more at danger when we were practicing than ever it was when we went on a proper rescue. Partly because we used to put ourselves in difficult situations. So we were out one morning practicing, and we thought it would be a good idea to try and practice landing the lifeboat right against the cliffs, on the rocks. Because if somebody's stuck on the cliffs, you've got to land the lifeboat right on it and rescue them. So a bit like that picture you got there. In we went, jammed the boat onto the cliffs. And at that point, the sea dropped away, and we were stranded on the rocks. Propeller couldn't work because there were rocks everywhere, and the waves started to crash onto us, filling the boat up. There's a crew of three, and so we start to try and drag the boat out. But every time we try to drag it out, the waves would come in, knock us over, fill the boat up, and I thought, this is it. And I would just say, you know, I may not be the biggest bloke. I mean, here's a picture of me as a child. That's me on the left. You can see such powerful legs there. I think in a previous life I was probably related to a sparrow, but anyhow. We were unable to get out. Absolutely unable to pull away from those rocks. And it wasn't until the big guys, the other two guys, big beefy guys, wrenched the boat free that we were able to climb back in, get out. And I realised at the time that it wasn't my strength, actually, that got us out of that problem. It was strength from without. And I think most of us are, or will face, physical, emotional, or spiritual challenges in our lives. Not necessarily like that, but others. And I mentioned earlier Paul's physical challenges. And he says a very important thing in verse 8. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, not in despair. I wonder, actually, how Paul manages that, because here's a man who is, in his words, wasting away. His body is wasting away, but inwardly, he is being renewed day by day. As I say, I got out of the problem in the lifeboat by relying on my colleagues, big burly guys. And that's Paul's point, in a sense. He has had his Damascus Road experience. He knows God is the Father of Jesus, the one by whose power Jesus had gone down to earth, died and been raised as Messiah into new life. And it's because of this that he has glimpsed, he's understood, he's realized, recognized something that causes him to write, as Tom Wright says, one of the most astonishing statements of Christianity ever written. He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And this is the sentence that Tom Wright fixes on. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul is not saying that our present lives don't matter. He's saying that we have to balance the things of the present world, to contrast them, as it were, with the things of future world, of eternity. I was thinking, actually, just before I came out, of that hymn, is it immortal, invisible, God only wise? And the word that came to me was perspective. I think what Paul has got here is a perspective. For me, it came initially on the hills that time when I was 14 or so. And I realised, you know, that our lives, in some ways, are like that. They come, they go. But God is there before, during, and after. He is there for eternity. And seeing our lives in that perspective helps us. And maybe for you, it's prayer and meditation that gets you there. Maybe it's the regular reading of the Bible. I know for Debs, it's worship music. For many of us, it's, as we will in a moment, take the body of blood of Jesus into our very own bodies in communion. I know, I think, Jill, you say the glory of the unfolding seasons. You reach out for God in those moments. I know personally, seeing the self-sacrifice of other Christians, particularly our mission partners, fills me with heart, with hope. And for many of us, and I know, Dave, you're sort of going through this at the moment, and you will have done as a vicar many times, notice the extraordinary change of perspective that occurs when friends or relatives are facing major health issues, maybe facing the end of their lives. And I've seen it on a number of occasions as they experience, as it were, the outward wasting away of their bodies, their inner spirits shine with remarkable grace and light. It's as though they've glimpsed something of the glory of what is to come. I think some translations say the weight of glory. And it's evidence of their being renewed by God day by day. Tom Wright says again, it's as though I live in a tent today, but one day I will live in a palace. And our response must surely be that of gratitude and thankfulness that God, creator of everything we see, of those magnificent pictures of the universe I think you were showing last week, Joe, immense glories that we can't even see but can only imagine. Thankfulness to God that he so loved us that he sent Jesus to open the door that we may once again glimpse that weight of glory that awaits us, to fix our eyes on him and to know that whatever happens in this life, we are assured of this glorious eternal inheritance. And so we finish, in a sense, where we started on the hilltop, looking in awe and wonder at the majesty of God. And as we prepare to share in the bread of life, let's remember how Elijah's emotional strength was renewed by bread, and give thanks that God came to us as Jesus, so that we can today also share the very bread of life. And as we now lift our voices in praise, let's fix our eyes not on the troubles around us, but upon God, our refuge, our strength, our shelter. And as we sing now, let us come again to Jesus, the source of all creation, and drink from his well that never dries.
I love the fact that when Elijah was there hiding under that bush, the first thing that God did was to send his angel to give him bread and to nourish him. And as we come and gather around the Lord's table today, I just have a sense that there are some of us here particularly who are feeling much like Elijah. And actually, God, more than anything, wants to just come and nourish you this morning with his bread and with his wine. Just gently, in that gracious, loving way that he does. And just to say, here, take, eat. And just somehow, we don't necessarily understand it, that this bread and this wine that is before us, this body and blood of Jesus, just gives us the strength that we need to keep going. Gives us the nourishment that we need to keep walking, to keep running the race, to keep following Jesus. So I really invite you, if that is particularly where you're feeling this morning, just to leisurely receive God's generous gift this morning and allow him to encounter you, to meet you in this bread and this wine. Not a ritual act that we do, but a real place where God encounters us. And let him surprise you. And let him fill you afresh. Let's stand, shall we? God has not forgotten us because God is here. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. And in Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, do this in remembrance of me. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And do sit or kneel as we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Just before we share, I want to just read a little prayer or reflection which I found this week, just to introduce us to begin our communion here. And it simply says this: in times of weakness and hour of need, yours is the strength by which we carry on, the shoulder we rest our head upon. When our load is heavy and too much to bear, yours are the arms stretched out to help us, the grace that we depend on. In times of weakness and hour of need, your voice is heard. Come, find rest. This is grace divine, the path we tread to wholeness of body and spirit, the path that leads to you, and for which we offer our offering of praise. As you take the bread and the wine this morning, come, find rest. Come, find grace divine.
Thank you. just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Invite anyone who wants to have prayer after the service to just come forward, and perhaps those who would be willing to pray for others would come forward to pray for those people. Just have a sense that, you know, that God continues to want to minister to us, and particularly there are some who I just sense some prayer this morning would be really helpful. So we're going to say a final blessing here, and I think there's another song that the band can perhaps play quietly at the end. But if you want to have prayer, do. If you want to go for coffee, do go for coffee down the hall. But a final prayer. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonder he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and always.